Hello, everyone. This is Tennyson Wolf. Welcome to Human to Human, the podcast, which I've named as Periodic Learnings with Interesting People, periodic writings from my blog, the Human to Human blog. It's intimate conversations with self and other, and it's based on a premise that we can start anywhere and follow it everywhere. Sometimes the most interesting conversations that we have are the ones with ourselves as we learn to explore and develop more of our interior world and how that connects into an outer world, or how it influences what we see in an outer world. I'm going to do something just a little bit different today because I am having a conversation with myself, and I want to see what it sounds like out loud here. Somewhere along the way in this coronavirus pandemic situation, I started leaning into an exaggerated description: what if this is the end of the world? And I realized that I was wanting to resist this description, and yet it was still present. And so I thought, why not lean into this just for a little bit? Sometimes when we lean in to what we fear, it removes some of its power or some of its grip on us. So end of the world, I'm letting myself exaggerate just a little bit, and I'll qualify it by saying the end of the world as we know it. Because many things, of course, will continue and are continuing, and some things may be forever changed or quite significantly changed. I made a list of six things in a brainstorming moment. In other words, I got stuff in my head and in my heart and in my belly. I need to give it some space on paper and see what it looks like or see what it feels like. So in no particular order here, I'm going to name these six and see if I can just flesh them out just a little bit. I hope that they connect perhaps into your own thoughts of significant change, whether that be enjoyment and movement towards, or i.e. finding courage to move towards, or your resistance, your inner resistance also for any of that kind of thinking. Because let's be clear, these all exist probably in all of us, and some of us are more disposed to one line of thinking over the other. It's not my position to say what someone ought to be thinking. But here, let me share the six and play with them just a little bit. One of them that I wrote is talk less. So in the end of the world, as we know it, what are some of the things that feel important to me? And one of them is talk less. And really, this is a bit of code for admire and love the empty. Now, I've for a long time been someone who I think has sought to learn more about the value of empty, be in the practice of trying to empty, trying to get to more nothingness. Sounds funny to say it that way, right? But to try to get to more of that, because it feels like there's a quality of flow with life in the emptiness or in the less part of things. And I have that part of me that in all of this has wanted to be busy and wanted to sometimes just for comfort fill my days, my moments, my hours with productive things. And there's lots of good in all of that, but I want to praise the value of more empty and talking less, just listening. It's funny to say that as I'm talking about it. A second one in the end of the world is that there are hardships that we have experienced. Though my personal experience in my geography where I have lived, where I have quarantined, self-quarantined, all of that has been pretty free from grand trauma, there are, of course, other places in the world that are not that way. I'm thinking of my daughter and my son-in-law who live in New York City and are, you know, have been in the heart of the U.S. epicenter of some of this pandemic. It is important in the spirit of initiatory experience to actually have the experience. which includes the hardship, which includes the ordeal. If we try to bypass the hardship, I think that we lose the value of what we're experiencing, or we lose the gift of the experience. We lose the lesson or the deeper lesson in the experience. I think all of us have some experience trying to bypass the hardship and trying to bypass the pain. And just so be it. You know, that's what we are. We're human beings. But if we can come in the end of the world, what makes it a gift moving forward, what provides some good ground moving forward, is that we've internalized a little bit more of the hardship. We have not tried to deny it. We have not tried to dress it up. We have not tried to bypass it. We have not tried to pass it off as just sunshine of another form. There is real sorrow to experience and real hardship to experience. And in so many traditions, spiritual traditions or just wisdom traditions, the teachings point to being able to go into the hardship, go into the surrender, go into the death, if you will, for what might come out on the other side of it. So hardships must be experienced. In the end of the world as we know it, I think that there are some friendships that are surrendered as well as some friendships that are born. A pandemic like this, as if we have this all of the time, or it's not in you know, my most immediate experience. I think it resets our values in a way, or if one of the things available to us is resetting our values. And in that, we might find that there are some friendships that we just let go of that have been important, and let's, you know, celebrate them for what they have been. But in the resetting of values or the reawakening of values, we realize, oh, there's some good things that actually need to be let go of. And thus, you know, the parallel to that is there's also some new friendships to be born. Some of us may find that in these times we discover people who remind us perhaps of more of who we are, more of who we want to be, or more of who we want to be next. Friendships are born and friendships are surrendered. End of the world, one of the things that I love to do is I love to write. I love to write in my daily blog, Human to Human. It's a Monday through Thursday thing. I love to use it as a journal. I love to use it as a sharing of information or sharing of inquiry. I love to use it as an invitation to inquiry and some of my colleagues and friends to just be able to think out loud with one another. And I've also written a book called A Cadence of Despair, Poems and Reflections on Heartbreak, Loss and Renewal. I like to write, and I'm going to let myself say it. It is one of my gifts. I like to articulate. I love to find words, sentences, just so that feel right and that kind of, I don't know what word to use here, channel a certain reality or channel a certain insight or truth. In the best of writing that I do, I feel like I am being written rather than I am doing the writing. In truth, I suppose it's a good partnership of both of those things going on. The point of this, though, is in the end of the world, one of the things that reawakens is using your gift and using your gift in the spirit of calling. I imagine that many of us, some of us have been laid off, and some of us have been, you know, lost our jobs. Some of us have been just at home and not able to fully do our jobs. There's some of us that are going to say, you know, I don't know if I want to go back to the way that it was. And some of the reason for that, I imagine, is that people feel like they it's not aligned enough. It's not aligned with who they are and, you know, what they want to offer as their gift into the world. It may sound like a privileged conversation to say, well, I only offer what is my gift in the world. And I know that that conversation can be extended or exaggerated into a way where it just feels like it's selfish nonsense. However, there have been many who have guided us along the way that have said, work to your gifts, work to your strengths, offer your gifts, offer your strengths, and respond or be in the spirit of a calling. So I want to name that. Number five on the list as I'm speaking it right now is that in the end of the world, we have a gratitude. I can feel a softening in me. Some of the things that were really bugging me 6 months ago or 6 years ago aren't bugging me in the same way. That doesn't mean it's all gone. That doesn't mean there aren't triggers, that kind of stuff. But, I think with any initiatory experience, and I guess I'm calling this an initiatory experience, with any initiatory experience, there will be hard things. And if those hard things bring their medicine, eventually, maybe inevitably, I'm going to stay with eventually, we will feel a gratitude for hard things. Some of us have grown up in context or lived, created contexts where we've been able to avoid very hard things. I'm thinking of, let's just say that's a real thing. And this is connected to a humility, right? There's a certain humility that comes with being involved in hard things, and especially communally hard things. A pandemic is a global thing. A pandemic shutdown or a shutdown caused by a pandemic is a real thing. An economic depression is a real thing. Deaths, challenges to health, fear, depression, anxiety, these are existing as global things right now. And the fact that they do exist as a global thing or as a communal thing, I think lifts up the possibility that we might also reclaim an added context or intensity of gratitude or genuineness of gratitude. That feels like a good thing. That feels like something that I want to give my attention to. The last, which sounds a lot like the first, is in the end of the world as we know it, there's something about surrender. I can definitely feel the part of me that is a bit of a student of surrender, surrender to what is, surrender to the now. I can feel myself even more so both wanting to or just giving myself to the surrender. I guess that's what that means. Less arguing, less trying to control, less trying to impose certainty, less trying to make it the way that I want it to be, a little more humility, again, that feels involved in acknowledging that there's some things that are just beyond our control. And this arguably is one of the most fascinating and productive and yet misleading myths of human society for, I don't know how long, the last couple of hundred years, perhaps more in some ways. Maybe it's just an age-old story that started with the dawn of human beings as a species. But surrendering to the now, I love all of the Zen teachings that seem to point to such a simplicity that is grounded in being in this moment, not the past, not the future, just this moment. And I am finding that there are some ways where I almost feel like I lose my mind in a good way. This feels like, or in this context, it feels like a good thing, losing my mind to the concept of time. And to, there's a certain like vibe, there's a certain joy, there's a certain feeling that I have of feeling like the bulk of my energy or of my existence even is just in this moment right now. So there are six things: talking less and admiring and loving the empty, knowing that hardships have been experienced and not bypassed, friendships born and surrendered, using our gifts and working in alignment as much as we can with our callings. Gratitude for hard things, or added gratitude for hard things, added contexting for hard things, you know. And then surrender into this moment. These are all deep practices. I feel myself as a student in all of these. And as I said at the beginning, these came from desire to lean into some of what I was resisting and let myself exaggerate it a little bit. What if this is the end of the world as we know it? I'm going to stop there for today. I hope this stirs good thoughts in you. I hope this stirs wonderings in you. I hope this stirs your own version of deepening of who you are and who you are both individually and in community, who we are together in community. So thanks for joining today. I have oodles of stuff on my website, tennisonwolf.com. Please go and snoop around there. And thanks for passing this podcast or the materials you find on my website along to others. I hope it stirs some inspiration in them also.